Turn back tonight to the 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel. We look at the same scripture we looked at last Sunday evening. Mark 14, verses 3 through 9. Being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. And she broke the flask and poured it on his head. And there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this waste made of the fragrant oil? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of as a memorial to her." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I wanted us to come back to this text tonight to look at the words of commendation of Jesus as he defends the deeds of the woman who poured the precious ointment on him. As we saw last Sunday night, some were quick to criticize. They were upset. They were angry. They were indignant over what she'd done. They cried out against the waste. But Jesus quickly comes to her defense. And he says there are three things here this woman has done. I want us to look at them in turn. First, in verse 6, he says, "She's done a beautiful thing or a lovely thing to me." William Barclay said that the Greek has two words for good. There's agathos, which describes a thing which is morally good. And there's kalos, which describes a thing which is not only good, but which is lovely. You know, sometimes people can do something which is morally good, but do it in such a way that it loses so much of its worth and value. I remember years ago, as a young preacher, I was trying to speak to each of the preachers in the district about giving money for the superintendent Christmas gift. And one of the older preachers gave me some money, but I wished he hadn't. He did a good thing, but all the things he had to say about it made it almost a bad thing. It had no love within it. And again, you might go to a doctor. He examines you. He diagnoses your problem. He prescribes a treatment. And this brings healing to you. And this is all good. But if he treats you not as a person, but as a thing, as a disease that he's trying to get rid of, if he's uncaring and uninterested in you as a person, while what he does may be good, it's only agathos. It has no love within it. But if on the other hand he expresses real interest in you, if he sympathizes with you, seems to really care, then this is not just good, it's kalos, it's a lovely thing. And this is what this woman showed to Jesus. Hers was a deed of love, of care, of beauty. Hafak Lukic said of this, "This word beautiful is a word to remember. It suggests love lifted to a fine art." Love lifted to a fine art. There's a place for it in all devotion. There's a place for it in worship. The beauty of a cathedral with its aspiring lines, soaring arches like prayer in stone. The beauty of great music such as breaks forth in the Messiah. There's a possible beauty of an act of kindness deluxe, rising gracefully above the level of duty. The extra touch, the gold illuminated letters which brighten the pages of life's prose. He goes on to say, to lift the dutiful up to the beautiful is a mark of true discipleship. Hear it again. To lift the dutiful up to the beautiful is a mark of true discipleship. And that's what this woman did. She lifted the dutiful up to the beautiful. What she's done was a beautiful thing, Jesus said. And he says she's done what she could. She's done what she could. Now, on the face of it, this doesn't sound like much of a tribute. But when you give it a little thought, I do not know any higher praise that could be bestowed upon anyone than to say they did what they could. Think about it. How exciting it is sometimes for us to dream of what we would do if we had this or that or the other. And the last thing we want to do is just what we can do. It's so often unexcited, unspectacular. We'd rather dream of doing what we cannot do than to do what we can. We think of what great things we would do if we only had the resources, the talent, the skill. We'd do great things if we had the ability, the resources that somebody else has. How exciting the daydream about writing some great novel or poem or song that would make us wealthy and famous. I think Rob Williams is the only one who's got the possibility of doing that. Or maybe Gwen will write the song. But you know, most of us are never going to write a famous novel or a great hymn or a great song that will make us famous in our word, name, a household word. But are we willing to do what we can? Are we willing to write a note of encouragement? I was looking at a game show on television the last day or two, and one of the answers to a clue was, what is a handwritten letter? And after the answer was given, the MC says, you know, that's one you actually sit down and write out by hand. Most people don't know what it is to get one. We can all do that. Just a note of appreciation, a note of encouragement, a letter of thanks, or to just say a kind word. Well, we do what we can. How exciting it would be if I could preach like Paul and see the multitudes turn to Jesus. Can you imagine the thrill of Peter on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 responded to one sermon? 3,000 baptized and added to the church in one time. I've been preaching almost 55 years. I hadn't seen 3,000 come to Christ because of my poor efforts. You know, if I could just preach like Peter, if I could just pray like Paul. But are we willing to take the gifts that God has given us? And if nothing else, just tell the love of Jesus. Use what ability we have to do what He's called us to do. Your task is not preaching. For most of you, it's not. For most people, it's not. It's been the greatest joy of my life, but for most people, it's not true. But perhaps your task is teaching a class of four-year-olds. Or maybe taking care of the babies in the nursery. I'm sure I've shared it with you before. I saw it in a bulletin one time from First Church Birmingham, where one woman was retiring after 30-something years of volunteer service in the nursery, and another woman was still working in the nursery after 51 years. Can you imagine changing that many stinky diapers? She never preached a sermon. But she showed the love of Jesus. Will we do what we can? And what great and marvelous things we could do if we only had the resources financially. If we had the millions that some people have, we would feed the hungry and set up clinics to heal the sick and provide housing for the homeless. If we only had the money, what great things we would do. But what are we doing with that $5 or $50 or $500 we have in our pocket or in our bank account? Are we doing what we can do? We can't do everything. But will we each do what we can? It probably won't be exciting most of the time. It will not likely make you famous. But will you do what you can? I might have told you about Stella before. I want to tell you about her again if I have. I suspect that you sit around sometimes and reminisce about various preachers that have been here and preachers that you've known, and if you could take a little bit of this one and a little bit of that one and put them all together, then you'd have the perfect preacher. Well, preachers sometimes think about lay people and if they could just take the ones they wanted. We were getting ready to move from Fort Payne to Birmingham, and I don't know why I thought about it, but the thought came to mind, if I was going to take one person from the Fort Payne congregation with me to Birmingham, who would it be? And almost instantly I thought of Stella. Now Stella was about 65 or 70 years old at the time. She wasn't well educated. She wasn't wealthy. Her appearance was not overly attractive. In fact, she was quite plain. She might teach a Sunday school class, but you'd surely never ask her to speak before the whole congregation. She had some ability in music. She sang in the choir, but she couldn't sing like Gwen and others here in this congregation, and I never heard her try to sing a solo. I'm sure she was never asked to. She could play the piano, but nothing like Barry or Carolyn. She could play the organ a little bit, but again, nothing like Barry could play it. What was it about Stella that made me want to bring her with me to Birmingham? Well, Stella, like the woman at our text, was willing and available to do what she could. We had people there with more talent, more skill, more ability, more education, more money, but oftentimes they were not available or willing to serve. But you could always count on Stella. Almost without exception, she was willing to do what she could. If a Sunday school class teacher didn't show up on Sunday morning, and you could call on Stella, she was there. She'd do what she could. If you needed somebody in a difficult moment to play the organ or the piano, Stella couldn't do it all that well, but she'd do what she could. Well enough to get by. She never pushed herself to the front. But if you needed somebody to make a phone call, or maybe to visit somebody in the hospital or the nursing home, or to prepare a dish or a meal where there was a need, whatever, Stella was always willing to do what she could. And like the woman in our scripture, she had the ability to lift the dutiful up to the beautiful. And I would love to have taken her with me to Birmingham. A little indication of how much I thought of it. As far as I know, she's the only church member that I went back to Fort Payne to her funeral. And the minister officiating wanted me to come up to the front and have a part in the service. I said, no, I'm just here to remember and to thank God. A woman that did what she could and turned the dutiful into the beautiful. Beloved, God knows what you can do. He's not going to ask you to do something that you can't do. But He wants you to be available. He needs you to do what He can. Know what you can, no more and no less. We used to sing a song out in the country, "When my Savior calls, I will answer. When He calls for me, I will hear. When my Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name." And when He calls you, will you answer as Isaiah did long ago, "Here am I, Lord, send me"? Or are you willing to do what you can? Well, Jesus says He's done a beautiful thing. She's done what she could. One other thing He said, "Here she is anointing my body beforehand for burial." This to me is an incident like those that happen to all of us where we do not know what we are doing. And I don't think much of the time any of us really know what we're doing. And sometimes we do a whole lot more than we think we're doing. This woman's action was one of spontaneous, extravagant love. She had this one opportunity to do a lovely thing for Jesus, and she was not about to let it pass. She acted on impulse of love because she knew in her heart of hearts that if she did not do it then, she'd never do it at all. But William Barclay says there was one thing which was not in her mind, but which we now see. Jesus saw it. It was the custom in the East, first to bathe, then to anoint the bodies of the dead. And after the body was anointed, the flask in which the perfume had been contained was broken, and the fragrance were laid with the dead body in the tomb. Although she did not mean to do so, that was the very thing that this woman had done. This just reminds me again that we never know fully what we're doing. We never know because we never know who's watching us, for good or ill. When I was an older teenager, my mother sat me down one day and talked with me. One of her neighbor ladies who had a little son who was about 10, 11 years old, he talked to mother. She said, "You've got to tell Jeff to watch everything he does and everything he says, because my son thinks everything he does and everything he says is perfect. He's watching him all the time." Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. You're the only Bible that they ever read and the best Christian that they know. We never really know what we're doing. We never know all that will be affected by anything that we say or do. It is true that any lovely thing we do will accomplish more, reach more, than help more people than we can ever imagine. Be careful that your deeds are lovely deeds. God help us by doing what we can in lovely ways to do far more for His kingdom than we could ever imagine or think possible. It's a song that was played here, I think, last Sunday night. "Little is much when God is in it." When God is in the things that we do, and we do it as best we can, whatever we can, and turn the dutiful into beautiful, God will take our little deeds and use them in magnificent ways in the lives of His people. Lord Jesus, we seem to have such a little bit of a talent, such a little bit of gifts and graces. But let us not complain, but let us lay everything that we have at Your feet. And we just pray, Father, that we would do what we can. Turn the dutiful into something beautiful. and let you use our little deeds in ways far beyond our imagining. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.